Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Healing Hour, and we have an amazing show for you today. I have two special guests, and these special guests is a good friend of mine, Arthemius Jackson, and my pastor, Pastor John Clark Sr. But before I introduce these guests and bring them on, we are going to talk about a subject that is plaguing the body of Christ. And on the Healing Hour, these are the type of subjects that we have to touch. We have to hit home when it comes to these type of topics. And the topic that we are talking about is rape, sexual abuse, and molestation. I know these are big church faux pas. We don't like to get into them. We like to throw a lot of spiritual ideas and quotes on top of them, but we have to hit it directly, and we have to bring these things up. And if the church don't bring it up, the world is going to bring it up, and they're going to put their worldly spin on it. So we have to address it first, and we have to find out what the body of Christ is doing about it. So I would like to first introduce to you Arthemius Jackson. Say hello, Arthemius.
Hello.
All right. And then we would like to introduce Pastor Clark. Pastor, how are you?
Hey, how's everyone doing? Praise God.
All right. So this evening, I know this is a very intense conversation, and I know that it's going to go in a lot of different directions. God is going to definitely move when it comes to this topic. But first, Arthemius, you have a foundation that deals with these types of things. Can you please explain to me what your foundation is, what it does, and how did you even get started?
Okay. Yes, I have a nonprofit organization, and it's called One Touch Transformation. And what the organization does, it educates the community about sexual abuse, and we also help empower and encourage other victims and survivors of sexual abuse. So we work along with the local advocacy centers in our area, which I'm located in Florence, South Carolina. So we work closely with them as well. So whenever they have a community event, we're there to support them. With me being the founder, I started the organization back in 2014, and I was inspired to start the organization because I am a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. So I started using this platform as a way to continue to bring healing to myself as well as help heal others and give them a voice that may not have found their voice yet. So I go out into the community and into the churches, you know, the churches who do allow me to come in and talk about this subject, but I go to community events, share my story, and, you know, set up my display and let them know, you know, I'm here for you. This is what my purpose is. I'm here to spread the awareness and to help those, like I said, who've not found their voice yet.
Wow. Man, that's a powerful ministry. I caught a few things that you said. The first thing you said is that you were a victim yourself. How are you able to heal? Because you said you were able to be healed from yourself. In what way did you do it?
Well, there were several avenues that I did have to go down. For starters, I didn't get my healing until maybe almost 4 years ago. So it happened as a child. I was around 6 years old, but I never said anything about it. So I held on to that for 20 years without saying anything about it. You know, being growing up in a Christian home and being very involved in church and everything, but I never said anything about it. So it wasn't until 4 years ago when I finally broke my silence. So that was the first step I had to take in order to be healed. I had to break my silence, share my story and you know, actually face it head on. So after facing it, I did get counseling and therapy, you know, even though we were brought up in a culture where they feel like Black people or church people shouldn't go to counseling. But, you know, I need to do what I needed to do to get better. So I did go to counseling and therapy.
Amen.
And each time I shared my story, that's where my healing, it kept coming in, just being able to face it head on, talk about it. And it was how I regained my voice. It was how I regained my strength. And each day, you know, I continue to say that I am healed, even though I may still have some bad days or some bad moments or some triggering times, but I constantly still tell myself, you know, I am healed because, you know, we serve a God that he heals invisible wounds as well or invisible scars. So, yeah, I still claim it.
Wow. I love the way you said that you're claiming your healing even when you have a bad day. A lot of times we feel like just because the day is going bad, that means that thing is coming back to take over. No, we have to continuously speak life over the thing. And like the fact that you said, I broke my silence. There are so many people who are suffering from these types of issues, and they never talk about it. Never.
Right.
You know, the victim is angry, lashing out, or just depressed, or and there's no healing because there's no confession,
right?
You know,
right.
I found myself because I worked in a program called AIC, and what it did was I worked with foster children who had who have gone through different avenues of life. Some of them getting locked up was a normal. Some of them, because of rape, sexual abuse, decided to become transgender. I mean, I was dealing with a lot of different things and a lot of different kids who had so many different problems. It was because someone came into their life and did something to them, and it forced their world to be different. And instead of speaking life into the situation, they gave into the symptoms.
Right.
And when you talk about, you know, speaking life over your situation, not allowing, you know, it to get to you, you said something about triggers. And Pastor, I remember you preaching on triggers. That's something that you preached on a lot. But you said something about triggers, and a lot of times people don't understand what triggers the effect or what triggers that thing that may cause you to go into depression or go into a sad state. So are some of the triggers that you notice that you have to watch out for?
To be honest, I haven't had to deal with many triggers, thank God. But sometimes when the triggers do come, they're like memories, and I always say that memories, they pop up at the most inconvenient times. They just pop up when you don't want them to pop up, and you know, and that starts with that trigger. And one particular trigger that I did have to deal with, it was just as small as a smell. And I know it may sound simple or sound small, but just a certain scent. There are certain scents that will trigger a memory and take me back to that night or when it first happened. And it was the scent, and it might be certain products that will give off another type of smell, and like I said, it would take me back to that night. So those are the triggers that I've had to deal with. Other triggers that may pop up are different scenes you may see on a television show or in a movie. So you do have to be careful of what you're watching. There are certain things that I will avoid if I know it's going to have a scene in it. The movie that came out a few years ago, 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
I didn't go see it, and there was a reason I didn't go see it, because someone had already informed me what was going on in the movie. I had heard about the book, and then when I heard that they were going to do a movie, I had already kind of made up my mind. I was like, well, I don't think I need to go see it, and I'm glad I didn't, because when I found out what was in it, I know it probably would have, you know, gave off some triggers. So there are certain things that you just have to avoid from watching if you know that it's going to trigger some of those memories or cause the memories to come back. And like I said, some people have to deal with certain scents. Like I do, like I know those scents that will kind of take me back to that night. So it can be a mixture of small things or big things. But like I said, you just never know. And some of them you may not know until that moment comes up, because I had no idea that certain smell that came through my nose, that I just took a whiff of a smell, and I was at church. I was at church at Bible study, and a whiff came through my nose, and I literally got sick, had to leave out because I knew where I smelled it before.
Wow.
So it can be some of the smallest things, or it can be something that, you know, what you see or what you hear.
Wow. I can always attest to that. I'm about to let Pastor speak, but I can attest to that, because growing up, I dealt with not sexual abuse, but verbal abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So something that bothers me is profanity.
Mm-hmm.
So when, you know, my wife and I were dating, and even before we got married, I explained to her, look, profanity bothers me, and especially in arguing, you know, I don't use profanity. And I asked her, I said, look, as long as we're together, look, if we're going to talk, even if we're going to talk loud, we can't use profanity, because when I was growing up, profanity was used as the way to put you down.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand, like, when it comes to triggers and things like that, and, you know, sometimes you may get sick, but, you know, the other effect may be someone getting angry and lashing out.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
So knowing triggers is so important. It is probably one of the most valuable lessons to learn when dealing with the tragic situation in your life, is to know what sets you off, or know to stay away from something that may cause an effect. Pastor, what is your light on some of this conversation? You know, how can we relate and attest to these different things?
Well, I'm sorry, were you talking to me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, so praise God. Listen, let me tell you something. First of all, I am just so proud of Arsenius Jackson. I'm going to tell you right now, I am so excited about Arsenius Jackson. I'm so impressed with your bravery, with your transparency, and just being a light. I just love you, and I know you down south, and we in Philly, but I'm telling you now, that distance is not gonna keep us away. Me and Arthur are gonna jump on the plane. We coming up there. I'm telling you.
No.
I love you, and I'm going to support everything that you do, especially with this topic, because it's not easy.
Yes.
And she said something in the beginning that I caught. She said, I'll do it in the churches that will allow me to do it.
I was trying to go there.
I got mad. Okay? I got mad because I represent.
Yes,
I represent the churches she's talking about. I'm a pastor. How dare us close the door to something where folk can experience the most power? Deliverance is supposed to be the area where we are supposed to be the strongest in the body of Christ. Yes. If we spend just as half of the energy that we spend hiding stuff instead of letting stuff out, more people will get delivered. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you this. People would say, where is the power at? How come the church don't experience the power like Acts did? Where's all this power that the book of Acts had? You know why we don't have the power like the book of Acts had? It's because we have no transparency. People don't want to tell about their ugliness. People don't want to let sinners know that God can deliver you from homosexuality, that God can deliver you from lust, that God can break the power of pornography over your life.
Right.
They need to know that. And just listen, I too was a victim. I was molested when I was a young guy. I was molested by the next door neighbor who I thought was going to befriend me as a father, but I didn't know he had ulterior motives. And I remember vividly, I remember like a movie when he pulled me in his vestibule and did some things to me and how I felt afterwards. Like Arthenius, I didn't say too much. But one day I was preaching and I testified. I don't know if Minister Arthur was there. I testified about what happened to me. And my mother broke down crying because she could not believe that I did not say nothing. And it was hurtful to her. And I told my mother, it's okay. I don't blame her. I love her. You know, I don't blame her. But I had to tell it. And when I started telling it, that's when deliverance came. When I started being transparent, that's when the power of God came. When I started being transparent, I started feeling better. I started wanting to be more transparent. I started wanting to tell it more. And I didn't know that I was helping people because really I was being selfish and I wanted to help myself. But I didn't know that my testimony was helping others who also had sores, invisible sores that nobody could see. So, man, and listen, I understand those triggers. I used to, you know, I'm going to say that I'm going to go back with you, Doc. The fruit of molestation causes a lot of fruit. One of the fruit of molestation, one of the fruit that grows from molestation is pornography. That's one of the fruit, and that's one of the fruits that I had. I suffered with it. I couldn't wait to get out of church so I can get on the computer. I couldn't wait. My wife wasn't looking, so I can get on the computer and begin to feed. I was basically feeding my hurt. I was basically feeding that scar. I wanted to be healed, but I didn't know how. So I was feeding that scar, and I didn't feel good about myself. I didn't care because of what had happened to me, and I didn't know that until I got older that I had a problem. So. And some people say, oh, you just blame it. You blame the devil. You know you wanted to watch that. Well, maybe it was some of that. But I realize it, many fruits of molestation, there's anger, there's gender changing, and all kinds of, but mine, I know, was being promiscuous and pornography.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to be faithful. I messed up on my wife. Like, all these things were happening to me. Until I just went and I talked to God. I had a talk with God. I said, I didn't have the luxury of doing the counseling and therapy, which is a great thing. I think all people of God, especially people of God, because we try to spiritualize stuff, run three times around the church and get your deliverance. No, you need to talk to a counselor. You need to talk to somebody. You need to get some stuff so that you can be healed. But I just begin to, like, just expose it and be transparent and expose it and make people who was trying to hide, make them comfortable, because it needs to be said. Everybody know what Pastor is doing. Everybody know what Uncle Johnny did, but everybody's keeping it quiet. We spend more strength, we spend all our strength trying to keep it quiet. If we took half of that strength and started making it visible, I believe more people will come out, more people will get healed, and there will be a real deliverance, not just this fake, fluffy stuff on the outside. I'm talking about the inside, where people's insides are cleaned up, and God can really get the glory out of it. So go ahead, man. So this is awesome. I wish we talked about this all month. I love you. I'm saying this. I love you. Me and my wife love you.
I love you too. I appreciate y'all. That really do.
I think that because what you said about, churches who let you, that was something that kind of bothered me too, because this is something that's supposed to be shared with everybody. You know, how can we call ourselves the body of Christ if we're not trying to, heal the body? You know, when you get a cut in your arm, the body repairs the cut.
Mm-hmm.
So if we call ourselves the body of Christ, we should want to heal each other, because I can't operate at my best if you're not at yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and another thing that the Word of God tells us, it says, confess your sins one to another. You know,
right.
And not calling it sin. What I'm doing is I'm saying confess our faults. What's wrong with you? If I never say that I have a problem, how can I be helped?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like the fact that you said, you said first thing we did was you stop being quiet. You stop being
mm-hmm.
quiet. I think that, you know, what's missing in the church is a platform to speak. You know,
yes.
We're preached to a lot. We're preached to a lot. We're taught a lot. But we never create avenues where people can speak. You know, when we were growing up, they used to have testimony service.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody would get up for testimony service. And when I was younger, you know, I used to feel like, here we go again. Mother going to get the same testimony that she had. You know, somebody going to talk about what happened around the corner. Like, but then I started realizing, I said, these people are confessing their lives. When Mother
mm-hmm.
gave the same testimony over and over again, what she was doing is she was declaring what God did in her life, and she had something to stand on. That's
mm-hmm.
the reason why she kept going to church, because she knew, hey, God did this for me, and I have to stand on what God did. So, you know, we do. I know at Verity, after praise and worship, we open the floor for testimony service. And
mm-hmm.
when people come to our church, they say, wow, you do testimony service? And it's become our norm. But at first, it was like, oh, this is something different. You know,
right.
And what we found out is that when people weren't just sharing their good stories, they started getting up and saying, hey, you know, I'm struggling with this. Can you pray for me? And as a church, when we allow people to share what's wrong, and then as a ministry, if we're able to back it, then that believer knows that the church is behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when
right.
we go to church, we go to church out of custom, but
mm-hmm.
have no idea that the church is backing us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I thank God for just the completeness of the body. If this, what you're doing is, you're doing kingdom work. Bottom line,
wow.
you're doing kingdom work. You know, we always talk about repairing breaches. What breach are you repairing? Everybody can't have the same breach. I'm sorry, it's not
exactly.
what we're doing. You know, and I want to go further. As far as the age groups and the different kids that you work with, what is the going age where you see a lot of these things going on?
Statistics say that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be molested by their age 18.
Wow.
And that's where the biggest group is in the children.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next percentage is those that are under 30. So
okay.
with me working with it, I work with the kids. Not all of them have been sexually abused, and I know that there's one that has, and, you know, I'm watching her carefully as I work with her, because she has been getting help, so I am glad that her mom did get her help. But it's a large number in the kids, and like me, they're not saying anything because no one's talking about it. And I'm almost pretty sure that's why I never said anything, because, you know, we never heard the conversation of who's supposed to touch you, who's not supposed to touch you, or what do you do if you are put in that situation. So, of course, the kids, it's the same cycle. Nobody's talking about it to the kids now. So it's going to keep happening, and they're going to stay silent. They're not going to say anything because we're not having the conversation. So I do know a large portion of victims are the children. That's probably the number one age group, the children under 18. And especially from the age of 6 to 10 is where they probably have to be the most watchful group of kids, because they're still vulnerable and they're still, you know, going to be trust every adult that they're around, whether it's family or whether it's a friend of the family. So that's a large age group that needs to be watched and needs to have that conversation constantly. And the earlier, the better. But that group, that under 10, yes.
All right. What are some of the signs that you notice when you see a child and you can say, yeah, I know something is going on? Because as adults, and I believe now as a church, we have a responsibility to report certain things. So what are some of the signs that you look out for when you see a child that they possibly could be going through it?
If you notice a child is a little more touchy than the normal child, who's not just a hug, but, you know, sometimes you'll have some kids that it's like, you know, they shouldn't have no business, like, rubbing you in a certain way, just being very feeling, very touching. And another thing that I've noticed, I know we're in a different generation. Well, this generation is coming up where they listen to the pop music at an early age and they start doing all these booty dances and everything. That right there, they're already exposed too early whenever they're seeing that and their parents letting them see that and listen to that type of music. Because a six-year-old should have no business doing no twerking or dancing on anybody or knowing what a lap dance is. Because I was shocked even when I was doing a seminar with these kids. I don't know how old the boy, he was under 10, but he knew about a lap dance and how a lap dance is given. And I'm like, okay, so you've been exposed already.
Right.
But whenever you hear them or see them being, you know, sexual, it doesn't have to be anything huge, but when they're acting a little too sexual, more than they should at that age, then you know that they're being exposed to something sexual at home. Not saying that they're being abused or assaulted, but even when a child is just exposed to if they're seeing something, then that's already messing up their mind. I mean, actually, it's a form of sexual assault when they're exposed to something too early, to sexual material too early.
Right, and it bothers me. It bothers me when a parent or an adult, and the first thing you want to do is, oh, that girl is so fast, or that. You know,
right.
That girl is, you know, and it's like, well, where is she getting it from? Nobody want to go back to where she's getting it from, but you want to call her fast. You want to say, you know, she's going to be pregnant before she, you know, and you want to talk, you want to put this girl down. But nobody said nothing to the adult that's exposing her to this thing. And nobody's pointing them out, but you're pointing out this girl's actions because you can see her actions, but you can't see the person who's teaching it to her.
Right, they had to get it from somewhere. They didn't just learn this on their own.
No. Pastor, you have anything?
Man, listen. I'm just exploding on the other side, but I'm so like listening, and I'm just, but you know, and that you hit something, Minister Arson. A lot of times we used to spend more energy on trying to hide the shame. Instead of coming out with it, like I remember back in the day, if a young girl got pregnant, first thing you want to do is send the girl down south. What about sending the one that molested her, him down south? Send him or her down south. When the woman was brought into adultery, all the men was ready to stone her. But they brought the woman. But where was the person she committed adultery with? Where was him? And what happens is we so quickly to blame the accused, but we always hide the one that actually did it, the actually accused, or the person that actually did the crime. We want the victim, but we don't want to get the person that caused it. So it's just really crazy. I'm listening to you, Mr. Athenius. I'm listening to you, and I'm listening at these statistics, and my mind is blown because you know we all got grandkids. Some of us got grandkids and children of our own. Right. You got babies. And I'm looking at this world that they're about to enter into, and it's sad. I want to ask you a question, though. I don't mean to take over your question in a minute, but I want to answer a question. Who are these people that are molesting these kids? Who are they? Are they total strangers? Like, who are these people? Like, I know that you got some statistics, but who are these people?
They are everyday people that you see in church, in your community, in your family, the people you invite over. So it's not a stranger. There's no more stranger danger, but it's danger when dangerous when it comes to even your family members, your church members. So they look just like you and me. They're the uncles. They're the deacons. They're the ministers, the pastors, the musicians. I mean, they're everywhere. And that's the scary part about it, because it's not like this ugly monster that you can pick out, you know, like it's no more stranger danger, but it's somebody they trust. Someone who they think is looking after them or supposed to protect them. So that's what makes it so easy for the perpetrator to get to the victim or get to that child, because, hey, I'm your mom's friend, or either I'm your dad's friend. We go to the same church, so yeah, you can trust me. I'm not gonna hurt you. But then they turn around and they do take advantage.
Wow.
So most of the victims, they know who their perpetrator is. They know them. They already trust them.
Wow.
And then the something else that's even scarier, and it's called. You ever heard of the term grooming? You know, you can groom animals. Well, that's right. What the perpetrators do to the victims. They groom. Well, let me take that back. Before they groom the victims, when we're talking about children, before they groom the victims, they groom the parents first. So they get in, they know the parents, and they become good friends, gain their trust, and a lot of them gain the parents' trust just so they can get closer to the child. So not only do they just groom the victim, but they groom the parents first, and then they're going to groom the child.
Wow,
So we have to be careful that we don't open up that space for the perpetrator to get in. We don't want to be the cause of them getting so close to our kids. And there's an article that I just shared not too long ago about not even making your kids hug family members or hug friends, like for the holidays or whenever you go to reunions. Like you don't have to make them hug somebody if they don't feel comfortable, but there are some parents that are like, go over there and give your auntie your kids or give your uncle a kiss or go hug them. But if they don't feel comfortable enough to do it, then you shouldn't make them do that. You're going to make them get in a situation that they don't want to be in. And so as I don't have kids yet, and I'll be honest, like some days I'm afraid to have kids.
Right. Yeah.
Like you said, bringing kids in this scary world. But, you know, whenever they come and if they do come, but I can't really speak as a parent, but I know if and when that day does come, I know what I will shield them from, and I already know I'm going to be overprotective. But the things that I'm learning now and what I see, I already know how I'm going to treat my child as far as, like, okay, you don't have to hug whoever, you know, that you don't want to hug. You don't have to do it. You don't have to let them kiss you, hold you, any of that. So as parents, they have to be careful that they're not putting their child in an uncomfortable situation.
Wow.
I know you told me something about this whole grooming thing. You know, we quick to, think about the kid, but we never think about the parents getting played too.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other things, is there anything that as parents
can you repeat that? I couldn't hear that last part.
I said, are there any things that parents should always do for and watch out for?
I'm sorry, it still sounds muffled. I'm sorry.
Are there anything that parents should watch out for? Are there any key things that parents should watch out for, you know, to make sure that somebody isn't trying to do something with their child?
Oh, of course. Always take a look at your surroundings and making sure that if your child is in, let's say, like Sabbath school, Sunday school, if you're able to see, like you're dropping them off in the classroom, there's a training called Darkness to Light, and it's to protect the kids as well as protect the church and the adults that are teaching. But one thing that you can be watchful of is make sure that your child is never in the room with the teacher by himself. There should be at least two teachers in that classroom. Also, like I said, be mindful of your surroundings. Watchful if you see certain adults, if they like to hang around kids by themselves, as far as trying to make them sit on their lap, watch for that too, because you know they shouldn't be doing that. That's inappropriate touching. I don't care. No child belongs on an adult's lap if that's not your son or your daughter.
Amen.
I always watch out for, I guess, men and women. I can't just say it's just men, but men and women, if they're taking pictures of children, I cannot stand that. I don't know why some adults like to do that. But
I understand.
But no adult should be taking pictures of children on their phone. It's not, especially if it's not your child. And I was just teaching our girls that this week. Do not let anyone, no adult, take a picture of you if it's not your parent, because no adult has no business wanting to take a picture of you. But it's just little small things that, you know, just have to be mindful of, because something can happen so quickly. Like, you can turn your head and stuff just happens so fast. It happens so fast. But just being mindful of who is around your child. Some people may agree, some may not agree, but teachers in the church, they need background checks too.
Amen.
Criminal background checks.
I'm with you.
And anyone who opposed to it then might have a problem, because if you got a clean slate, then you shouldn't have a problem with doing a criminal background check as far as working with children, because we don't want any pedophiles teaching in the church either. But there are small steps that we all can take just to be mindful of protecting our kids.
Man, we got delivered today. We get delivered tonight. Wow.
We're speaking truth. Don't hesitate to say what you're saying, because that's something that people need to hear. I know for a fact that my wife's church has every person, even when she was decided to work with the youth, she had to get a criminal background check, and she had to get a child abuse clearance, and she had to get a couple other things, CPR training, and a couple other trainings that she had to go through before she was able to be a youth leader. And at first, I thought it was excessive. But then after a while, I was like, wait a minute. You know, they go on field trips. They're out, you know, with her, you know, and sometimes the parents don't show up. Anything could happen. That is so necessary.
Mm-hmm.
We have to protect ourselves. And honestly, it may not just be to protect the child. It may just to be protect the adult as well. You know,
right.
Sometimes you know, sometimes things go into an awkward position. You know, it you know, you just have to. Everybody has to protect themselves. Question is, how do we talk to our children about molestation?
The best way to start the conversation with a child, let's start from the beginning. Anytime a child is able to hold a conversation with you, then that's the right time to start the conversation. And you start the conversation by teaching them about good touches and bad touches. Teaching them about the body parts. And at an early age, parents need to go ahead and call a penis, and a vagina, and do not come up with these nicknames like a cookie and all this other stuff.
Hey,
but
amen.
You start off by going through the body parts, letting them know, you know, it's just what it is, a body part. You don't have to be embarrassed about it or be ashamed of what it is, because it's just a body part. So you talk about your body part, their body parts, let them know why we wear clothes, why we wear, you know, why boys wear the swimming trunks when they go swimming, why girls put on their bathing suit, and it is to cover up those private body parts. And then you let them know who is allowed to touch it and who isn't allowed to touch it, which would be the parents and a doctor if they need to check on it to make sure it's okay. Other than that, no one else should be touching it, looking at it, talking about it, any of that. And if they do, that's when they need to come and tell you. Just tell somebody.
Amen.
So that's how you start the conversation, you know, with the younger children. Because like I say, if they're able to hold a conversation with you back and forth, then you can go ahead and start talking to them about their body parts. That's the best way to start it off. So that way, as they get older, they won't be so embarrassed or ashamed to talk about their bodies, as long as you start the conversation early. And then, you know, every year it's okay to go over it again. Ask them, has anybody touched you in your private areas? And just keep checking on it.
Okay. I'm really learning a lot because, I have a 9-year-old daughter, and, you know, she's going to school, she's doing a lot of everything. And I'm getting a little worried because she's going on vacation, so she's going to be going out of town. And you know, I want her to be prepared, but I also want to be prepared that I know that she understands, you know, those types of things. I know we talk about it, but you know, we have to be persistent. Even you know, when kids act like they don't want to hear it, or here we go again. You know, it's our job as parents to kind of keep going over this same thing over and over again. So
right.
Trust me, I'm taking notes.
Yeah, and do it in a comfortable way so they won't be uncomfortable when they come talk to you about it. So, you know, just don't make it so nerve-wracking for them, or don't let them know that you're nervous about talking about it, because then, of course, they're going to be like, oh, I don't want to talk about this.
I'm nervous. I didn't lie to you. I'm nervous. I
can understand that with you being a father. I can understand that.
Listen, I only been a parent for 9 years. Everything is a new moment, and everything's always popping up. My baby is getting stuff that I didn't think she was supposed to have until she was about 13, 14 years old. I am scared. So you know, I also want to talk about, or I just want to ask you, what are some of the what you call them, the do's and don'ts, or how do you tell a child to you know, something happen? I'm breaking up. Can you hear me?
You was breaking
up. I hear
up.
You now.
So when it comes to a child who either is being approached, how do you get them to either, you know, hey, this is how you tell an adult, or this is how you, you know, get away from that person? What are some of the things that you tell them?
So are you asking if it's someone that you know that they're in the situation, or
if a child finds themselves in a situation, how do you tell the child to either, this is how you get away from that person, this is how you talk about if something happened? What are some of the ways you get the child to understand how to get away, or how to, you know, I guess, warn an adult in some ways?
Well, if it is a child and they are being abused, then I'm going to say it kind of, but I'm going to say it's our responsibility to actually report it, because if they're underage, then it's like we're held accountable for it. We're held responsible,
uh-huh.
especially if we know that they are being abused. That is up to us. It's our duty to report it. And you can report it anonymously, so it's not like you have to feel like you know, telling on them. But, you want to report it if you know that they are being abused. But definitely someone underage, which the laws vary from state to state, so I'm not sure how it is in Pennsylvania. But if they're underage, most of the time I think it's like maybe 16 and under, but depending on how the laws vary from state to state, then you are kind of mandated to report it. So if you know that it is going on, then yes, I would say report. That's what I would do, report it.
All right. I want to, right now, we are getting into, we actually have a caller. Billy Rob, can you bring that caller in, please?
Praise the Lord. I wanted to come on real quick first to show my love to Sister Arsenius and to all of the guests that are on, but especially to Sister Arsenius. Please forgive me if I'm mispronouncing your name, Arsenius.
It's okay. Yes, that's correct.
Because like the pastor said earlier, it's the transparency that helps people heal. When they look at us now and see what we've been through, they know that there's hope for their healing. But what actually made me press one, and I'm going to share this and then I'm going to get off the line, is when you were naming some of the perpetrators that are out there, when the pastor was asking, you know, who are these people? There's a group that wasn't mentioned. And unfortunately, this group goes through it the most. And that's when the perpetrator is their parent. Because there are children out here who, unfortunately, their parent is the abuser. Their parent is the molester. Their parent is the rapist. And how do you work with that child who the person who's supposed to protect them and nurture them and love them is the one that's damaging them and harming them? So I shared that because I'm working with a bunch of children right now who it was the parent. And one of the hardest things that they have to develop is trust. How do you trust someone else when the first person I'm supposed to learn to trust is the one who destroyed my trust? So we have to be mindful of that, especially we who are in any type of leadership anywhere, to the signs and signals of children, you know, because as she said, they are the ministers, they are the pastors, they are the musicians, the choir directors, the Sunday school teachers, the teachers in their schools, the people who are supposed to look out for them. And for some of those titles we named, they're doing it to their child. And we'll sit and go, oh, not Pastor so-and-so because he's holy and upright. Look at the Catholic Church. I don't mean to throw stones, but let's look at how many times thousands and thousands upon thousands of children have started coming forward talking about what was done to them. So I just wanted to share that, to put that out there for us to be mindful of that part also, watching the children that we're in charge of or that we've been set to look over. Watch their attitudes. Did a child go from bubbling, loving, and happy to all of a sudden they're sullen and sulking and won't talk? A child that was always loving is now real distant. They're throwing tantrums. They're acting out. So I just wanted to share that. And Reverend Art, for the nervousness, I understand the nervousness. Don't let it show and get over it quickly, because I promise you the predator is not nervous.
You're right about that.
And I'm speaking from it because one of those children I'm speaking of is in my bloodline, is in my family, and I'm looking at the repercussions of what happened, although we found out immediately and they were helped immediately. They're still getting help.
Wow.
And it's 7 years later. So I just wanted to share that, encourage Arsenius to continue to go on, and the ministry is back in your hands.
All right. Right now.
Good stuff, good stuff.
Yeah, that was, wow. I can't imagine, like, just the suffering that a child goes through when it comes to this topic. And just like we've said, you know, it's years later, you know, years later before anybody says anything. But right now, we are going into the call of salvation. And we believe this is the most important part of the show, because we're asking people, you know, after hearing this conversation, after hearing, you know, people's stories and how they've overcome, we want to give you the opportunity to overcome as well. And the first thing that we want to do is we want to extend
salvation. We want to extend Jesus. We want you to understand that the blood of Jesus washes away so many different things. Yes, we believe in, I believe personally in counseling. I've been through counseling. I've been through therapy. And I think that the church itself, we need to stop ignoring the idea of counseling. You can't shout everything away. You can't hallelujah and praise everything away. It's not going to work. No, no, it is not going to work. No, we need to claim the blood of Jesus, and then we need to see how to fix it. You got to use both. We have to use both. And I believe there's somebody listening. There's somebody, you know, who's hearing our at this ministry. There's somebody who's hearing your ministry at this. And the first thing they want to do is they want to know how to get healed. Well, let's start with salvation. Let's start with receiving Christ as your personal Savior. And then we can go further. So right now, Pastor, if you don't mind praying, we're going to pray for those who are listening, and we're going to extend Jesus to those who are listening right now. Pastor, can you pray? Yes. Amen.
Yes. Romans 5 and 8 lets us know, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. I just want to say to you, you can't get yourself together. God didn't wait for you to get yourself together. He died while you were still in your sins. So I'm just asking you, those of you that want to know Christ, he did give his only begotten Son according to John 3:16, and whosoever believes in him should not perish. So if you would like to believe in him today, we want to invite you to believe in him today. And the word of God lets us know that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, that's in Romans 10:9-10, and that believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So just repeat these words after me and say, hey, Pastor, I want to give my heart to the Lord. And once you give your heart to the Lord, God is going to clean out everything that needs to be cleaned. But first we have to come to him. So repeat these words. If you're listening, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, save me. I believe that you died on the cross and that you rose from my sin. Come and change my heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Allow me into your kingdom according to your Son. In Jesus' name. So I just want to thank those of you that pray. I want to pray, Lord God, I ask that you could touch everyone that's listening today. Lord, I thank you for this topic. I thank you that right now somebody's getting delivered. I thank you that right now somebody just received you as their personal Savior. Father God, give them into a church, Lord God, where they can hear the word of God. Get them into a place that will develop them spiritually, Lord God. Get them to a place that will love them. And, oh God, we thank you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Amen. I believe somebody is getting healed from this conversation.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes. This ministry, what you're doing is you are breaking down the chains. You're loosening chains.
Thank you, Lord.
People free. You are not allowing the enemy to take our children. And God is going to bless. He's going to flourish this ministry. I believe that there will be no need that you won't be able to get. I believe that finances that has to come to cover this ministry, God is going to bless it. God is going to provide. You do the work. God is going to do the rest. I believe that those churches that said that they didn't want, those churches are going to come back and open the door with open arms because they need this ministry. I speak life. I speak life over every part of your ministry.
Yes,
I speak a mobile ministry in Jesus' name.
Yes,
I speak cell groups that people will begin to break down your teachings in their churches and pass it on in their churches. You better get your bags packed. You better get your bags packed in the name of Jesus. God is going to take this ministry because the body of Christ need this. We need this. we need to, after we get finished talking about Job, after we get finished talking about the day on the lion's den, we need to talk about how to protect our babies. Bottom line. Wow. What good is it to have all this truth and don't want to, and we don't cover our children? Wow.
Amen.
And we can't just cover them in the spirit. We got to cover them with knowledge, too. Knowledge and wisdom. After we use the oil, we better use some wisdom, too.
Amen.
And if you have information, that I'm using. You know, like I said before, I have three children. And I have to talk to my daughters and my son and say, you know, don't let nobody touch you here. You know, if somebody says this in a suggestive way, hey, talk to me. And then I also, as a parent, I have to make sure that I always have a relationship with my child that they can talk to me about anything.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's the number one thing. I have to make sure that I have a relationship with my child, that nothing is off limits. I don't care what's going on, what's wrong, what you did, how you did it. Talk to me.
Exactly.
And I think parents, as parents, we seriously need to understand that our children, the only resource our children should have is us. And if they had us, then they shouldn't have to, they won't have to worry about drugs if they have a good relationship with their children. They won't have to worry about them going into the streets if they have a good relationship with their children. I had a father who was there for every step of my life, and I didn't have to worry about the streets because I had a father I could talk to. Children go to other things because the resource that God created isn't available.
Right.
You know, and I thank God for everything that you're doing. You blessed us. You really did bless us. Pastor, I thank you for your testimony. I thank you for your transparency. You know, it takes bravery for a man, for any man, for any man to tell their story. Men are the most silent victims out of everybody. Men will go their entire lives with deep wounds and won't say anything. So we thank God that you represented, you know, and really shared and were transparent. Before I close, Pastor, is there anything that you would like to say? Pastor. All right, Arthenius, before I close, is there anything that you would like to say?
I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be a part of this ministry tonight. I certainly enjoyed myself. This is awesome what you all have going, the kingdom purpose. This has been an absolutely wonderful experience tonight. I enjoyed myself. And just want to let others know if they need any more information about the organization, the website is onett.me. And we're also on Facebook. Just type in One Touch Transformation. And we're here to, you know, be, like I said, be a voice to those who are still trying to find their voice or who's looking for healing. I'm here to support and help point you in the right direction. Because I know if God brought me through it, he can do the same thing for the next person, whether you're a man, woman, boy, or girl.
All right. Real quick, also, is there, what about your social, I know that you gave your website, what about your social media and things like that?
Yes, I'm also on Facebook, Arthenius J, or you can just type in the full name, Arthenius Jackson. And just want to put this small little plug in. One of my healthy outlets that I've been using ever since I've overcome my past is singing. So I do have a website. It's ArtheniusJ.com. And I wrote a song that shares my story, which will be available very soon. It's called Butterfly, because I always associate my testimony with a butterfly, with the whole transformation and how a butterfly goes through the changes. So look for that soon. So that's ArtheniusJ.com, and I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, along with all the other social outlets, social media networks.
All right, real quick, because we don't have that much time, but I do want to hit on something. A lot of people don't know that you are a singer, and you're working on an album, and I want you to talk about that real quick.
Okay. I've been in the studio, like I said, I'm working on two songs that will be out hopefully, prayerfully, next month. And like I said, that's how I met you, actually, Arthur.
Right.
When we were in Philadelphia over like 9 or 10 years ago, however long ago it was. And that's when I did that singing contest when we were at the hotel. So did a song back in 2011. And, you know, before I got back into the music, I was, you know, dealing with my past, and it was hard for me to go back to singing. But, you know, now I'm back into my music, and I'm really excited about what's going to be released. These first two songs that will be on the album, they're going to be released first. And so I will have an official date announced this month. So like I said, just stay tuned and follow me on Facebook. And like I said, the website is ArtheniusJ.com.
All right. Pastor, you back with us? All right. So, good, good. So, I just thank you, and I praise God for you. I'm going to have you back on. I am going to have you back on.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Hey, Brother Rob, can you tell us, the episode, what number it is, and where do we reach tonight?
The actual numbers that we have for tonight, they're not into we end the episode, but we do have Pastor back on. But real quick, we'd like to thank everybody for joining us for the 472nd episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. This has been the Healing Hour with our very own Reverend Arthur Burgess III, and we thank each and every one of our listeners and participants that have participated in our show tonight. And we hope everyone joins us, God willing, and God bless, the next 2 weeks for the next episode of the Healing Hour.
All right.
And tomorrow night, we will have the Time of Prayer show, which is going to start at 8 p.m. tomorrow night.
Amen.
And it's going to be the Reverend Donaldson and Pastor Renee, and they'll be on for the Healing Hour tomorrow night at the 8 p.m. hour. And
amen.
We do have some great prayer warriors here at Purpose Kingdom Network, and please join us for some prayer warriors tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. And also, if you want to correspond with us at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We can see your correspondence. Let us know how we're doing, or just basically say hello, or just send a prayer request, and we gladly honor that. Also, we're on our purpose_kingdom at Instagram and Twitter. And we're on Purpose Kingdom at Facebook. Minister
Amen.
Art?
All right. Thank you, sir.
Program's back
Pastor,
in your
you back with us?
Yeah, hello. You can hear me?
Yes, hello? All right, Pastor. Yes, I got you. Any last thing that you would like to say before we end the show? Anything you would like to bring up before we end?
Minister Arthur, I just want to commend you. You did an awesome job, man, to carry this
thing.
Thank
you, sir.
Everybody can't do that, especially with this type of topic. It was very excellent, very well laid out, very thoughtful questions. It was just good. Arthenius, I don't know what else to say. I just love you. That's all I can say right now.
Love you too.
You're awesome. We're going to get you over to Verity. We're going to figure
it
out, Minister Arthur. We're going to fly her in. We're going to put her up, and we're going to let her do her thing. Ready. Get ready.
Yes.
It's going to happen. The blood of Jesus, the devil is a liar. This cannot stay down south. This has to go all around. And we just we cannot wait for this thing to take off, and whatever Minister Arthur said to you is right. He was on spot on with the prophecy that he gave you. He's spot on. Love y'all. Thank y'all so much.
All right. Also, come visit us. every Saturday, every Saturday, 12 noon, is our regular service. Our Sabbath school, which we call as our new members class, is 11. We are located at the corner of 7th and Thompson. Come join us. If you have a free day, if you're looking for somewhere to worship, come visit us. We have a great pastor. I mean, a great pastor. And we have love. Forget everything else. We have love. And we are a church that loves you, and we are a church that cares. Come on every Saturday and be a part of our worship service. Amen. So I was told, Brother Rob tells me that I have to always talk about the things that I'm doing. I try not to. But this Sunday, if you're not doing anything, I will be preaching at Mount Olive Baptist Church, which is located at in West Philly. It is located at 638 North 37th Street. So if you're not doing something at 11, come on down and visit us there. This is the healing hour, and I thank God what he has done tonight. And I pray that somebody has been blessed by the words that came out of Pastor Clark. And I keep trying to say minister. I'm sorry if I keep messing up your name, but I keep trying to say minister Arthur Dees Jackson. But because you truly did minister tonight, honey. You truly did minister. But I'm not giving nobody any titles, but Sister Arthenius Jackson. And I praise God for what he has done tonight. This is the healing hour, and I hope someone was healed. Y'all have a blessed night. Amen. Amen.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not.